Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 6, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 9 in Bill's story. The very last line on that page, which looks like it's paragraph 7, begins with, "He came to pass his experience along to me," and we're going to comment on those three lines, one single paragraph today. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Dana P., The 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today would be Leslie M. and Kara L. Support this morning would be France N. for newcomers and sponsors, and Robin P. to wrap us up today with announcements. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 15484, 15,484. This would be Monday, the 5th of October. At 10 a.m. And then this morning, Tuesday, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting that just happened an hour or so ago. That would be for Tuesday the 6th, 15488, 15,488. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dana P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Star 1, please, Dana P. Hit that one more time, Dana P. Star 1.
Sorry, here I am. Thank you, Melanie. Dana P. in California, the steps of OA. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two.
Translate it into OA, would you please?
Yes. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Dana P., and thank you for being gracious about my interruption. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers, 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. I'd like to take note here that this would be the star 1 key function only for muting, and that anyone that's not speaking in the moment will be muted for the quietness of our recording. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 9, the 7th paragraph. It's way down the last line on that page, which he had come to pass all his experience on along to me, and those 3 lines only. Today, and what I'd like to do is ask Leslie M. to please read those 3 lines, unpack it for us with her experience with recovery, and then we'll open it up to others to comment. Hi, Leslie. Thanks.
Thank you, Melanie, for all your service. Appreciate it. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. He had come to pass his experience along to me if I cared to have it. I was shocked, but interested. Certainly, I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. You know, this little paragraph has so much in it. You know, he talks about, you know, basically we're talking about Abby coming to see Bill and you know, passing it along. You know, this is what we do in the 12th step in Overeaters Anonymous. We try to carry the message. And, you know, I have to be really mindful of that, because in the beginning I was trying, I was carrying the message, and I was looking for the results. And now I remember that word in the 12th step of try to carry the message, because that's all I can do. I can carry my message. I can share my experience, strength, and hope. But, you know, Bill says here, if I care to have it, you know. So the other person has to, you know, be a part of this and be willing. You know, I can't recover. I can't make anyone abstinent. I can't recover for anyone. I certainly know that trying to carry the message helps me stay in fit spiritual condition. So I'm very grateful for that. And the last thing he says is, I had to be, for I was hopeless. I know for myself, I had started up again in January of 2018, and I was 7 weeks entirely abstinent. So I knew, that it wasn't the physical allergy. But I had gone to a meeting that day and something got stuck in my head. And I binged over that. So I saw how powerless I was also over my thinking. And that has become my first step, is I'm powerless over the food and my thinking. Because I was hopeless at that point. I knew that I could never stay out of the food. No way, no how. And so when I became hopeless and got that gift of desperation, I was then willing to do exactly what this book told me to do and exactly what my sponsor told me to do. And I heard on this line, instead of saying yes, but I'm just going to say yes, ma'am, and that's exactly what I did. Whatever I was asked to do, I did it. I was afraid. I didn't want to. It didn't matter because I've been around in OA this year for 30 years and I have 2.5 years of, entire abstinence and being recovered. And I'm very grateful for that. But I didn't really ever believe that it would happen for me. But by doing these, by following these directions to the best of my ability, I didn't have to do anything perfectly, but I had to do it to the best of my ability at the time. And by doing that, I have gotten a spiritual awakening. I do have the neutrality around the food. And, the mental obsession has been removed. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Leslie M. So lines are going to be open now for additional comments on that paragraph. For page 9, Bill's story, paragraph 7, the bottom of the page. He had come to pass his experience along to me, that single paragraph there, please. And although we do value your experience and the shares around that, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you shared on Friday or Monday, if you consider tomorrow being your first day back to sharing again. That would be very much appreciated. I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and possibly your state, if in case folks want to contact you after your share. I will take a lineup, please.
Hi, Judy from New Jersey.
John, first initial of your last name?
H. Judy H.
Donna.
You got Donna B.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Okay. And your state, if you want to?
Colorado.
Got it. Thank you.
Stephen G.
Stephen G. State if you want to.
From Toronto, Canada.
Thanks.
Janice K.
Hi, Janice K.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Robin P.
Hi, Robin. I was going to say, in the interest of time, I'm going to grab back up and get Judy on the line here, and then Donna, I'm sorry, we'll follow you, Judy. Judy H. from New Jersey. Good morning, Star One.
Hi, it's Judy. I was interested. I've been in the program. Can you all hear me? Can you hear
Not
me?
Not clear, but we'll let you know. Yeah, we'll let you know. Just launch right in.
Hello?
Hi. Hello? Yes, we can hear you.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Right in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
It's Judy from New Jersey. I've been in the program for about over 40 years. I started out in Brooklyn Heights, New York, and my first meeting, there were about 40 different people sitting around, and one woman said, "Can't any of you stop eating?" They were chewing gum, they were drinking coffee, sodas, etc. And the answer was, "No, we couldn't stop eating." And this group had what I wanted, but it took me about 12 years to succumb to my real abstinence. I'd have a week, a day, a month, 2 weeks. But I did want it, but yet I kept taking my will back. And what I started doing was taking this program very seriously. I tried to go to at least a meeting a day. After work, I'd go to a meeting. In those days, A telephone call was a dime. I would stop at a phone booth if I had to and say, I want to eat, but I'd go straight to the meeting. I had people come and babysit me if I wanted to eat compulsively. I did the work. And this is a program of action. I realized just going to meetings wasn't enough. And the phone calls really saved my life. I had an emergency kit with about 10 different phone numbers. And one time I was coming back from my parents' house into my quiet, empty house. It was just myself, and the reentry was difficult, and I wanted to eat so badly, and I was willing to follow the suggestions of the program. I made 7 calls, and I committed to not eating compulsively, and then I cried after because it worked. It really, really worked. And then thereafter, I probably only had to make 1 or 2 calls, and now I'm maintaining after all these years. I've been at this normal weight for about 30-odd years, an 85-pound weight loss. My food plan has changed over the years, and I just want to say I'm grateful to all the people who are out there, and I wish you all a very beautiful, abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judy H. from New Jersey. Donna B., Colorado, you're up next, and then Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada will follow you. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. And these few sentences really remind me of when I first learned about OA. I was friends with a woman. I guess we were women. We were in our early 20s. And she was a physician. She was doing her residency in family medicine. And she said that there was one period in her life in which she was able to abstain from bulimia. And that was when she was in medical school in New York City. And whenever she had a break, she would go to a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And she came with me to my first meeting here in Denver. And I never stopped coming back. I did not see the recovery in the meeting that I see on the lines today or amongst people who devote their path of recovery through the instructions in the Big Book. But I did see something that was sufficient to inspire me to keep coming back. And that was an honesty around the disease and a desire to get better. And it reminds me of a part in the Big Book where it says, you know, it's not sufficient that we are united to each other by the disease, but what we're really united about is the path to recovery. Currently in my life, I've been introduced to a lot. There's so much activity going around regarding other ways to study the Big Book. And I have FOMO, the fear of missing out. There's this method, there's this method, there's that method that's going to be an amazing transformation, a sudden and, you know, profound, amazing spiritual experience. And I want to try this and I want to try that. But in practicing these principles in all my affairs, it means I have to be attentive and present to my family, my work, and to the program of recovery, which I'm committed to, as I'm taking a number of sponsees through the steps in the way that I have taken it. So I'm interested. Of course I'm interested. I have to be interested. And I have to remember that I'm addicted to the high of something new, something amazing, something phenomenal. And sometimes the quiet, peaceful path is a good option too. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Stephen G., Toronto, Canada. You're next, and then Janice K. will follow you.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. These are it's a very short paragraph, and I don't think I've really ever focused on it before, but now that I'm looking at it, I relate to it a lot. You know, the first person who passed his experience along to me, I was amazed by it, just by his sustained weight loss and that look of peace and calm in his eyes. But I didn't really care to have it because I wasn't hopeless. And then I came back into the OA fellowship probably a decade later, and I was interested again, but I wasn't completely hopeless. And so I cared to have certain parts of it, but I didn't care to have the whole part of that experience. And then I had multiple relapses, and then I got suicidal because I was just so miserable. And then I was hopeless. And when I was hopeless, I was not only interested, I cared to have it, and I cared to have it desperately. And I began to do the step work in the way that was laid out for me based on the experience of people who had recovered. And it was only then that I got the result that I was looking for. And even after I put the food down, there are periods of time where I want that experience, but I don't care to have all the things I need to do. And the food doesn't come back, but that restlessness, irritability, and discontentment comes back. And I get hopeless again, and then I'm reminded that if I want to have that experience, I must care to have all the aspects of the work that needs to be done. And when I do those things, then I get the results. But what I really required was this feeling of hopelessness, both around the food, but also around the emotional discomfort that comes with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. Janice K., you're up next.
Thank you. This is Janice K. from Oregon. This spans the whole spectrum of recovery. It has a fellow who's just beginning, and it has the old timer handing things on. And until you get almost through them, until I got through them, almost through them, I didn't realize how much need there is to pass on that experience and how it does feed. One, I feel like I was talking with someone recently saying, well, I feel like I have to support my local meetings. I get to make up for 20 years of half measures. Their program worked for them, but now I know it doesn't work for me. I'm a stubborn person with a stubborn disease, and I need a simple answer. And part of that is that I have to share what I have been given. I have reached the point of desperation a number of times in my life. What brought me to Visions was in January of 2020, not a whole lot of time back. I looked around and I said to myself, okay, I'm not happy. I want to go through the steps again. Who has what I want? And I saw two people. They were steady. They were stable. They were always the same. I asked one of them to be my sponsor, and she brought me to Visions. So this paragraph really calls to me. It's the spectrum. It's from beginner to sponsor handing it on. And so I really appreciate what it has to say. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. Mary G., you're next, then Robin P., and then we'll open it up for additional comments on page 9, Bill's story, paragraph 7, last line, the bottom of that page, one paragraph. He had come to pass his experience along to me. So you have 6 minutes to get ready to share. Hi, Mary G.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona, and thank you, Team Tuesday, for all of your service. Boy, these three lines just really, really hit me. It reminds me of in 2006 when I had started to gain weight again, even though I was in OA for 17 years and supposedly was abstinent, you know, and I was gaining weight. And I was scared to death because I knew that once I started to gain weight, you know, I would not stop. And the denial that I had, I didn't even see through it at that time. And so I went to an extra meeting, you know, just an extra OA meeting. I had no idea that, you know, it was about to change my life. And there were two people there. I was the third person. That was it. There were only the three of us. And it was a program that I had heard about, but I really wasn't interested in because I had heard of the work that it took, and I really didn't want it. But I saw in these two women something that, you know, definitely interested me. And they invited me to go to another meeting about 20 miles away from my home, which, you know, at that time I thought, you've got to be kidding. I'm going to be driving 20 miles to go to a meeting. But I went. And when I walked into those rooms, I was literally shocked. It did not look like an OA meeting. It looked like, you know, an Avon meeting or something. Everybody was thin. Everybody was well-dressed. And I stayed and I listened. And I had to be there because, you know, I was hopeless at that point. I knew that if I didn't do something different, I would still be the same. You know, my story, I wish I had said that would have been my spiritual awakening. It really wasn't. I did lose the weight and I put down the food, but I still didn't understand that I had to change. You know, when it says here, he came to pass along his experience if I cared to have it. You know, I still was picking and choosing what I wanted. Yes, I was thin, but I really didn't want to change behaviors that I had lived with all my life. And it wasn't until, you know, a very personal crisis happened in my life that, you know, I went to another 12-step program and I learned that I had to change. You know, I was the one who needed to change. So I totally related to this paragraph and that, you know, this shocked and interested. And of course I was interested because I was hopeless at that point. And I just am so grateful that, you know, despite the fact that, you know, it has taken me years to, you know, get to the physical recovery, get to the emotional recovery and the spiritual recovery, I am so grateful to be recovered today and for one day at a time, and grateful to my higher power who never gave up on me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mary G. from Arizona. Next up for 3 minutes is Robin P. from Mexico. And after her 3 minutes, we'll open up the lines for additional comments. Page 9, paragraph 7, Bill's story. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Mel. Thanks so much. Thanks for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico. And, you know, I just remember walking in and to the meetings the first time in the rooms and just looking at God on the walls, and I was a devout atheist raised that way and just horrified and just terrified because I needed help so badly. And I just thought, oh no, this isn't going to work. And, you know, I really had to get hopeless. And that's the word. That's the word for me, is that I had to hit bottom. And when I work with people and they're just not ready, I just say, pray to hit bottom, pray to get hopeless. Because when you're ready, nothing will get in your way of recovering. And when you're not ready, anything will get in the way of you recovering. So I always just say, please just pray to hit bottom. That's all I know to say. You know, I'm really so grateful to be recovered today. And this program is such a blessing, you know, because I'm not hopeless today. I have so much hope today. And I, you know, I have my meals. They're not the center of my world. It's not Russian roulette. It's not sabotaging my life. And my progress to hope was a process. You know, I just, a woman in the program said, just rely on any power that's greater than your addiction, that's greater than you worshiping the food. Find something else that you believe could be greater, that you could have hope in. And one day at a time, you know, it's almost 5 years now, thank God, one day at a time. And I have hope today in my recovery, in my life, and in God. and in my fellows and in this whole program that works. And it's such a miracle to be able to have three meals and put down the food at the end of the meal and just go on with my life and feel satisfied and grateful and nourished and actually be healing my body and blessing my body with abstinent food. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. With that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Robin P. from Mexico. The lines are open now for additional comments on the paragraph, page 9, paragraph 7. And although we do value, very much value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you shared on Friday or Monday, would you please consider sharing tomorrow as your first day back and sharing? Otherwise, I'd love to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and the state that you're calling from or country.
Carol S.
New Jersey. Carol, what from New Jersey? Carol S. from New Jersey.
S. Sam.
Thank you.
Janice P. M.
Janice P. M. from
Massachusetts. Yes. Thank you.
Carrie G.
Sue N. from California.
Sue M. like Mary from California.
Nancy.
Nancy. Okay, great. Thanks, Sue.
Santa
take one
H
more.
From New Jersey.
Hi, Santa H. from New Jersey. That's a great lineup. So we're going to go with Carol S. from New Jersey, Janice P.M. from Mass., Carrie G., Sue N. from California, and Santa H. from New Jersey. First up, Carol S. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater from Monmouth Beach, New Jersey. And what I wanted to share on this paragraph was the fact that I came into program because I was in Jenny Craig, and my counselor said, who happened to be an OA member, passed the message on to me and said to me that I needed to go to OA, that I was a compulsive overeater. I didn't have any clue what she was talking about, but I looked it up, I talked to a few people, and then I went. So I was so hopeless that somebody whose job it was to shove this program down my throat told me it wasn't going to work for me. I needed OA. And I'm ever so grateful to her for that. So she passed a message to me, and I passed a message to other people when I can. It's a little harder now with COVID-19, but I manage. But I was so hopeless, and I know I'll be hopeless again tomorrow if I give up my spirituality. If I give up my connection to my higher power, I will be hopeless again. All it's going to take is that first compulsive bite for me, because I'm so seriously compulsive. It's, you know, if there's a spectrum of 0 to 100, I'm at 100. And I'm so aware of that. So I think about sponsors, and I think, you know, they try to pass the word on to their sponsors, as my sponsor tried to pass it on to me. And was I willing to accept it? Yes, I was. I was willing to take whatever I could because I wanted to recover. When I looked around the meeting and I saw all these people recovering and sharing their dirty little secrets about food, which were my dirty little secrets, I knew I was in the right place. You know, every time I hear welcome home, Red, I just want to cry because so much of that applies to me. And this is my home. This is a place where I can say anything I want about my behaviors, and not only about food, but my behaviors with relationships with people. And nobody condemns me. Nobody turns their back on me. Everybody's accepting. It's just, I wish it was like that outside of the OA rooms. I wish everybody just accepted everybody for the way they were. But they don't. So I'm very happy to be in this place. And these meetings, A Vision for You, have just opened up my eyes to a new level of acceptance, a new level of learning, a new level of understanding this disease and how this program works and how I have all of you to support me. And hopefully I'll reach out and support all of you. It's just such a miracle to me to have this group. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you, Carol S. from New Jersey. Janice P.M. from Massachusetts. Your 3 minutes, and then Carrie G. will follow you.
please. Yeah, I know you will time me, Melanie. Good morning to you. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, you can hear me. Oh, yes, okay. My name is Janice P.M. I'm a recovered, pardon me, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Now, I'm just going to pass my experience on what I've read and what it means to me. And when it says he had come to pass his experience, they're talking about Ebby, for anybody that's new. And what is his experience? His experience was, gee, you know, he belonged to a religious group, and that's why he said in the previous paragraph that the religious idea, which is practically step two, and pass on his experience of the practical program of recovery, which is steps 3 through 12. This is what his experience is, and he was willing to pass along this to Bill. Well, of course, you know, Bill is still, I mean, he's a drunk just like Abby was a drunk. You know, most of the people, so they said, and when I first came in around 10 years ago, said they were compulsive overeaters. And, of course, I was still eating. And the only that's how it was, that when I came to OA, that's all I heard was about the foods that I should eat, you know, and which is very important because those are my trigger foods. But I did, and I followed this plan, and I followed that plan, and I got this sponsor and that sponsor, and it really didn't work for me until I heard the experience of gals, of men in the program that found a power greater than themselves. And I think this is what, you know, because he was in the Oxford group, which is a religious group, you know. And so, he got the solution. I mean, he knew it was a religious, and that's how he stopped drinking. Don't forget, Ebby was only sober, you know, and I was only, like, abstinent, not recovered, for, you know, about 2 months. And he passed it on, and so that's a good omen, too, that, I believe that they have to be recovered before they pass it on. But he knew how to stop because he's given this message to Bill, like the people in OA gave the message to me. And I grabbed onto it because, you know, I was out of all sorts of solutions, right? But I had to get the solution when I started the steps. And this is the start of the steps to come to believe. Bill didn't take the step yet, but of course he was so devastated that he knew he had something because he was drunk always with Ebby, and it worked. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Carrie G., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Sue N. from California will follow you.
Good morning, Mel. It's Carrie G. in Colorado, gratefully recovered today, and just blessed to be on the lines. He had come to pass his experience along to me if I cared to have it, and I was taught to really look at that word if, and the irony is, for me, my experience this morning is I just got a text from a sponsee who is going to take a step back from OA because she's not quite sure if she has the allergy of the body, because after 1 week of being on a food plan, she's eating normally. And so it's each one of us, we get to decide whether we have the mental obsession coupled with the physical allergy. And sometimes it takes going out to see if we, you know, if this program is what we care to have. And I know for me in my experience, once I started working with a nutritionist and I got a food plan, I wasn't eating compulsively, but I still had the mental obsession and my life was still unmanageable. And so it just takes each one of us the opportunity to look and see, you know, maybe my food looks okay, but how does it look elsewhere?
I have to be hopeless. I have to be out of ideas to really want to grasp and take a hold of other people's experience. And for me, it's listening to other people's stories. I had to really dive in and hear the message over and over and over. And thank God for all the podcasts on A Vision for You. And for me, that was why I did the brainwashing, because my brain needed washing. And I love that idea that it's my thinking that really gets me in trouble. So I had to hear other people's experience, strength, and hope. And so if you are unsure, if you have this twofold nature of the illness, sometimes we have to go out and get beaten up by the mental obsession or by the food or by both. But either way, there is a solution, and thank God for the 12 steps, and especially thank God for A Vision for You, and just grateful to be on the lines. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carrie G. from Colorado. Next up is Sue N. from California, then Santa H. from New Jersey will follow. Hi, Sue.
Hi, this is Sue N. from California. I've been in and out of OA for 29 years. I've had several periods of abstinence, but I wasn't able to keep it. I could get it, but I couldn't keep it. And I'm now 106 days into Vision, and I'm a recovered sponsor, and I've got freedom, and it's amazing. It is amazing because they talk about the desperation, and I came back so desperate. I had been face down in the food for 4 years, and I had given up on life. I'd given up on myself. I could barely walk to the bathroom and back. I could barely walk out to my car. It was a prison that I had put myself in, and it was just horrible. And coming to working the steps through Vision and becoming a recovered person has been amazing. It's been amazing to be able to have sanity again. I had given up that I could ever feel sanity. And I had always laxed on steps 10, 11, and 12. Those were steps I had never been steady with. All the times I worked the steps with so many different sponsors. But I was always slacking in those steps, and they are so key. It is so important to keep my side of the street clean and to keep my path clear. It's so important, and I'm so blessed to be here and to be alive and to want to be alive, to have hope again, to feel joy again, and to feel that my life has a purpose again. It's just amazing, and I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sue Ann. Santa H. from New Jersey, you're up for 3 minutes, and then we'll see how the time goes. Paragraph 7, page 9.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful, compulsive overeater living in a solution one day at a calling in from New Jersey. I like this paragraph. I like this part of the book because the first part for me was so painful. Seeing how beaten down Bill had to be before he accepts the solution. But here you got Evie. I'm grateful for Evie for bringing the solution to Bill, which brought the solution to all of us. That he now sees that he's hopeless. He sees that his way hasn't been working. But it took a few more incidents. You know, he had to go into treatment like 3 or 4 times, I forget the exact number, before he actually took this program of action and surrendered to his higher power and actually went to the steps and had his personality change. But just like with me, I came in here just wanting to lose 100 pounds, and I look at this program as a diet with group support. And as long as the numbers on the scale was going down, that was success for me. And just like others have said on this meeting, it was when the weight loss was not the problem anymore. It was my mental obsession that was really the problem that I needed to deal with next, that I began to see how desperate and hopeless I was. Went through a lot of temper tantrums, went through quite a bit of sponsors, having to put my temper tantrums and grateful that they were there and look beyond my behaviors and continue to reach out to me, that I went through this process several times, but it wasn't until I completely, entirely put down my last binge food, which was the nuts last year, that I really embarked on what I call a spiritual experience, like I never had before. And, you know, this book, this chapter here from here on gives me the hope, give us the hope, that we too can have the same experience that Bill has, but personal to us. It won't be the exact same, but I think the progressiveness of the disease and coming into the hopelessness, we all follow that pattern, some form of fashion down our own path. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for this meeting. And thank you all who do service. And Melanie, with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much, Santa H. from New Jersey. There is time for one more three-minute share. If you'd like to grab that up, I'd love to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state. An opportunity for someone to share.
From California.
I heard somebody from California. The first name, please, one more time.
Janice M.
Janice M. Got it. You're on for three.
I have a question. I actually have a question.
Well, I think it's best for sharing at this particular time. If you want to give me a ring, maybe I can answer it later.
Okay, sure. I don't even know how to access the phone. I just want to know where there's in-person meetings under normal circumstances in Northern California of this particular section of the fellowship. I love the phone meetings, but I was wondering if there's actually live.
If I can have you save that for another time, this would be for sharing on the paragraph today, just to stay in keeping with the protocol, the format. I'm sure your question is
very
important.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you.
Sorry about
very
that.
Very good.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah, you betcha.
Thank you.
If someone would like to comment and on the paragraph that we're reading today, we've got about 2 minutes now. Well, let's take that as an all voices are. I heard a voice.
Hi, Melanie. It's Sharon F. in Ecuador. I can share. I'll try to make it real quick.
Excellent. Let's do it. Let's do it. Sharon F. from Ecuador.
The thing that jumped out at me that I wanted to comment on was if I cared to hear it. And I think of caring as being willing. And I looked up willingness, the definition, and readiness, because I think of them as the same, but they weren't. You can be willing but not ready, and willing is the mental process, and readiness implies willingness plus physical manifestation of taking the action. So this explains my confusion of why I thought I was willing, but will still stay stuck for years. It was lack of readiness to take the action, which is everything to becoming recovered for me. So I'm really grateful that I've become ready. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon F. from Ecuador. Appreciate that. And on that note, let's go ahead and start the process of closing out the recorded meeting so that we can transition over to the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded portion of this meeting. Thank you so much. for all the shares that happened today. It's so teaching, and luckily it is recorded and archived, and Robin P. will tell you more about that later. Thank you to Team Tuesday. Welcome to the month of October here and studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous together. Please join us again next Tuesday. We'd love to have you here with us. So what I'd like to do is ask Kara L. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only to begin the process of closing out the recording.
Good morning. This is Kara L. from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.